This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at the corner of Trash View and Nada Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Randy and Lou?
Hey, Jeremy. I'm so glad to be here. We're going to have fun tonight on the Freedom Fiends.
I can feel it in a stop and frisk.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So we are here. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by Randy, and we have a special appearance by Lou. What is it, Wednesday? What's going on here?
Hey, it's guys. Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I got lost.
I know. It's a rare occasion. I mean, it's great that,
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Yes, well, it's I'm glad this happy accident ended you up here, Lou. It's good to do a show with you. Don't get to do too many of these that often anymore, With Michael bowing out, you're locked in on Wednesdays. I got my nights locked in, and it's like, no, you don't get to play with the other fiends anymore unless they want to show up on your nights.
I'm the lucky guy. I get to bounce around.
Yes.
Although it's sort of strange, the regular night guys, you and Lou, you get whoever happens to drop onto your show, right? You know, like I
or not.
I go on the schedule and fill my name into a blank spot, and then Lou, you look at it and go, "Oh, gee, Randy's on with me again." And Jeremy got the call tonight on that. And on the other hand, though, there are a bunch of fiends that are the not weekly co-hosts that aren't on a regular night, like Diana would be one. And so I'm never ever on a show with Diana and some of the other people that fill in the second slot on many of the nights. So it's sort of odd, and we miss each other. But you're the two guys that I'm on most with, because you've always got that extra slot open. So thank you.
Oh. Yeah, the other people, they're kind of like the temps. They get called in every once in a while. they're day laborers. They come out, they'll do a show. Michael picks them up outside the Radio Shack when the Radio Shack was still open. They climb in the back of his truck and go do a radio show.
yeah, but you'd be working a lot harder if we weren't here, though.
This is true.
Except Lou has done that. Lou, are you the only person that ever just said, "Heck, I know I don't have a co-host tonight. I'm just gonna wing the whole thing. It'll be a monologue."
I think I'm the only Fiends host that has done a solo Fiends show. Former host Derek J has done a gajillion solo shows of his own with Cop Block Radio and some of the other programs that he's been on. As a matter of fact, I think Derek J's life is a radio show, period. I mean, I could see him talking to somebody, and when the other person starts to say something he doesn't care for, you say, "We'll be right back after this trip to the market."
And then Derek's whole life is a victim. Yeah. It's a victimless crime spree, is what his life is.
Yeah, yes, yeah. But I enjoy doing shows with him. I enjoy.
Oh, me too.
His partner in victimless crimes.
I wish he was still doing shows with the Fiends, because it was always great fun. Sunday nights, I did them with him.
Me too.
Maybe he'll wind up in front of the closed-down Radio Shack looking to do a show sometime.
And Michael will see him there. Yeah, pick him up. Well, yeah. I hope that happens.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I came in after Derek stopped doing shows regularly, so I only got to do, like, I don't even know, less than a handful of shows with him. I mean, I got to hang out with him at Porkfest a couple of years ago, but other than that, I only did a couple of shows with him before he was gone for good. So, yeah, it'd be nice to have him back. He was fun.
Huh. Yeah, anyway, I have a at least one solo show coming up in probably the next couple weeks. And the last one that I did, the last one I did was planned. And that's when I covered the Not So Wild Wild West. Or touched on the subject. There's really a lot more, and I've contemplated going into it in a little bit more detail, but I also have something very important planned. I'm going to be discussing Frederick Bastiat, The Law, on the next solo show that I do.
Nice. So, great book. Everyone should read it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And very few have. That's the type of book that will never find its way into a government school. You might get a couple people at a campaign for a tiny bit more liberty that have read it or are familiar with it. You go to a regular mainstream Republican meeting, and nobody will have heard of it. They'll be like, "We get our philosophy from America, made in the USA. If it didn't come from Alexander Hamilton, we don't want nothing to do with it."
Now, I have a copy.
I do as well.
It's must reading for any fiend, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it definitely is.
I have a physical copy, a copy on my Kindle, and a PDF on my laptop, as far as I remember, of that book. Because that
was one upping me, aren't you?
For so many people, it was a very important part of my journey. It was one of the first books I read, you know, and it became very important to me. And it's one of those ones because it's so egregious that more people aren't aware of it and haven't read it, because it's not a very long book either. And because of that fact, it's one of those books that I keep around because I like to pull it out every year or so, you know, every year and a half or so, and just give myself a quick refresher on it, just read through it.
Now, there's a good reason why everybody should get a copy, even a free ebook or something. I think you can get it.
Yep, that's my first one.
Is that it's short and quick and easy to read. For Christmas, my wife gave me, you guys know Gerard Casey?
The professor from Dublin?
The Dublin professor.
You're buffering pretty hard, Randy. Hold on.
Oh, I'm buffering pretty hard?
Yeah.
Big time, yeah.
She gave you me free like progress.
He sounds really? Worse. He sounds worse than Max Headroom right now. That's pretty brutal. Maybe we'll come back to you in a second. I do know Gerard Casey though. He's the professor from Dublin. If I'm thinking of the right guy, right?
Yeah. And not to be a one upper, but I do have a chip in my brain with The Law saved on it.
Oh, okay. Fine, Lou.
Yeah. Skynet is here.
You can keep your implants, man. I don't want none of that stuff.
It's my RFID chip.
wouldn't be a bad one if they're gonna go force those things on us eventually, like we know they're all going to, you know, when we're all in the FEMA camps together and they're shoving them in. I wouldn't mind having one that has the law attached to it, at least, you know.
Okay. So yeah, then when you do your solo show about The Law, then I'll be listening closely to see if I hear any pages turning, you know, because you have it all in your head.
Exactly. No, I think it's going to be a very good show for our listeners that are in the know. It might be a refresher course, but to people that are not familiar with this type of writing, and then also the commentary that I'm going to throw in there, it's going to be very thought-provoking. Dare I say that when you start looking at the philosophy of The Law, you may find yourself becoming a tiny bit uncomfortable when you have to confront conflicting beliefs. That's called cognitive dissonance, by the way. And interesting example that I had today, I was talking to, I was conversing with some mainline Republicans earlier today, and you guys may have seen the screenshots I posted earlier, but these folks were talking about the immigration laws, which obviously they support. They are 100% in support of the immigration law, and they're happy that that an Irish couple is getting deported, a Polish doctor. They don't care who gets deported.
That one guy has been here for like 40 years or something.
Yeah. They're equal opportunity. They're not just saying get rid of Jose. They're saying, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your color is. If you didn't come here legally like my ancestors, well, get out. But interestingly enough, one of my ancestors got PO'd at his family over in Windsor, Ontario, walked across a frozen Detroit River and became an American. So that was the legal process back then. It's become a little bit more complicated since the Affordable Immigration Act was implemented all those years ago. But anyway, in this conversation, the quote was, "I don't care what color they are, illegal is illegal. They got to go." So focusing on the whole point of illegality, because they're equating legality and morality in the same thought. So the go-to for this would be Harriet Tubman or Rosa Parks, and I used Rosa Parks in this one. And my question was, since it was illegal for Rosa Parks to be in the front of the bus, what should her punishment have been for her disobedience? How much jail time should she have received for illegally sitting in the front of the bus? And of course, the cognitive dissonance kicks in, and it's like, that's entirely different. No, because the whole premise is illegal is illegal. If you're doing something illegal, you are an enemy of all humanity, period, end of story. So, of course, it continues on a little bit. It was rather a quick exchange. And, of course, the excuse, well, she wasn't in the country illegally, you know, which it doesn't matter. The whole point is she was illegally in that spot. Just as people were illegally sitting at lunch counters, and the government, the politicians got together and they scribbled words on paper saying that this can't happen. So the question is, if it has been deemed illegal, meaning it's a declaration from idiot politicians, then illegality knows no color, it knows no citizenship, and Rosa Parks is a criminal for sitting at the front of the bus. To which I get told that I'm an idiot and a couple other things and get blocked. which ultimately makes my life a whole lot easier. But here's the thing. If you live and die by the legal status as determined by government, then you must admit that Rosa Parks was a criminal. Harriet Tubman was a criminal because she, in violation of the Fugitive Slave Laws and the Constitution, took people to freedom on the Underground Railroad, and her one of her quotes was, "A path to freedom isn't always a legal one." We'll be back after this.
Right on. Bombs.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android worms.
Too busy talking to Do Talk Radio.
Oh, yes.
The radio show's interrupting our talking.
Oh, no.
We were having a lovely conversation. Randy was giving us a history lesson on Bosch.
It happens about 8 times every show, too.
You darn listeners interrupted us. I'm just kidding. Hi, folks. We're back.
We're back.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, we are back.
Yeah. So, well, Lou was, before we hit the break, we were talking a little bit about Bastiat, and Lou was letting us in on the show he's planning on doing soon.
Yeah, it was basically a 15-minute promo for Lou's show coming up, so don't miss it.
Yeah.
It's only like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, no. Well, Randy and I both said during the break that we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're with you.
I keep thinking about doing one of those shows by myself, because there's many a night that, you know, I am the only one scheduled because nobody's penciled their name in there, or somebody gets sick at the last moment. And I'm just like, yeah, I already do my own solo podcast occasionally, too. It's just too much work. I don't want to actually prepare.
Lou, if we have questions, can we call into your show?
Yeah, sure. Leave a message.
No, I mean the live show.
Yeah.
just pop
we know
in.
How you
get,
know
you get fiend phone pop ins every once in a while. Lou, hi Lou, I have a question.
What exactly did he mean by that? Well, Randy, you see.
Or you could be really sneaky, like Michael did to us a couple of weeks ago, and he snuck in through Skype because all of a sudden we're in the middle of a we're in the middle of a conversation, and all of a sudden I hear the voice of God, you know, the board op pop into my ear, go, "You have a caller," and I'm like. And I stumbled, and I'm like, wait a minute, a caller? We don't do callers. What's going on? And it was Michael calling in from Skype to harass me. So,
long-time caller, first-time listener.
Exactly.
So, now, the first time that I did a solo show is when Cal was still pretty new, and he was having the equipment issues, and he... I guess he wasn't able to get logged in, so I did. The show was 8 segments long, and I did the first 6 of them, and I got to tell you, it's something that I had wanted to do for quite some time, but I was contemplating asking Michael if I could do it somewhere down the road, but this was kind of the baptism by fire where the situation arose of, okay, here's your situation. You know, jump in, do it, because we were waiting for him to get signed in on Skype, and with the Skype, we weren't getting connected right away. But anyway... I think Nathan was a board op, and he says, "Okay, music's going to be starting now." I'm like, and I was very nervous because it's the long segment. The first segment is 12 and a half minutes, I believe it is, and it's sometimes it's difficult to keep talking for 12 and a half minutes when you're looking at the clock and you know that you got 3 minutes left. There's times where 3 minutes can last forever.
Seconds can last forever. I learned that my very first show with you when you disappeared for five when you left me alone for 10 minutes. The first 30 seconds was like, oh my God. But
and our guest host is Jeremy from Seeds of Liberty, and he's going to talk about
All right, thanks, Lou. But you did great, though.
I was actually very nervous and going. And I also had some technical difficulties too because the computer that I use for my articles. I have two computers going at one time. Usually, I don't.
I do as well.
But the one that I was using for my articles, the battery died on it, so I was trying to pull stuff up on my other computer. Plus, I had to move the other computer off of the table and onto the desk and try and get the other one plugged back in. And, oh, my God, it's just a big, giant cluster bleep. It looked like a government operation, but I managed to pull it off. And after about the second segment, I got a little bit comfortable. I found a nice little article to take me through the rest of the night. And Cal showed up for the 7th and 8th segments, and that was me getting my fruit broken.
And you did wonderfully.
You did it. And now we have the law going for a long period of time, you know, on one topic in that. Be careful or you'll be known as the new bad Quaker.
Have you seen my beard lately?
Ooh. I have. It's rather luxurious.
Yes, hey, it is.
All right, enough of that. I'm jealous. I got the beard envy. That's well documented. I cannot successfully grow a beard.
Yeah. Don't have to rub it in. To do a little bit more, selfless shame promotion. You guys can catch me on Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern time, on IS Daily, and that is Facebook Live off of the Liberty Principle, no consent from the government, Facebook page. And then it shows up on YouTube later on.
Is that Paul Gordon?
Yep.
Yes, and I'm stealing him before that show that night to do my show, The Seeds of Liberty. Look for that next week.
Yeah. You guys are.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
doing a selfless promotion.
Don't say yes. that. We don't know that yet.
Yes, but I think we should probably get to the reason the Lou's actually here. We had an article presented to us by my friend Jason Booth, who loves to post things on social media and tag Lou and I and say, "Hey, possible show topic." Even though I asked Jason if he wanted to join us here on the Fiends, because I know he has all the equipment. I said he set it up for it to do another podcast, and he does my podcast all the time, but he refused. And I know he'll listen to this, so you know, Jason, I'm just gonna keep picking on you about that. But anyway, he does find us wonderful articles.
And since we're so rarely on the show together, I find it curious that he'll tag both of us and say, possible show topic?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think he figures just one of us will pick it up. But this one, neither Lou or I could resist. So much so that Lou had to come on his off night to do the show tonight. And this is, I think the actual article he sent us was from the New York Post, which is such a lovely, lovely organization. Oh, it's such garbage. But
I feel like Dante from the movie Clerks. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I have used that line way too often in my life. That's one of my favorite movies. And I actually lived Dante's life for a while because I was a convenience store clerk for a couple of years.
So I got called in on my day off. I'm not even getting overtime. I'm not even getting time and a half.
Oh, I'm sure we could rustle up an extra couple of buttons to throw you for being here tonight.
I got buttons coming out my ears.
Well, hey, listen. So anyway, so the story itself came from the New York Post, and the headline is that police union slashes number of get out of jail free cards issued. And this is not hyperbole.
The alternate title is another shot fired in the war on cops.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Yeah, so this article is referencing the PBA cards, which stands for the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, which are handed out through the police unions in New York City. And all the other boroughs, actually, anywhere for the NYPD, to the cops. And apparently, I wasn't even aware of this. Now, I am aware of these cards, and we're going to get into that at some point. But I wasn't aware how many they were actually given. The cops, of course, are all mad that this is happening. And it's not that these cards are being taken away from them. They're just having the number that they're allowed to be given reduced. But these cards actually are get out of jail free cards, because what they do is the union gives them out to the cops. The cops are supposed to, with a wink and a nod, give these out only to your immediate family and closest friends. Meanwhile, I know plenty of cops who have sold these on eBay, handed them out to pretty much whoever, you know, used them to get themselves out of other situations. I've had many of these over the years. But yeah, they basically, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to carry these in your wallet or whatever, you know, or your purse or whatever it is. And whenever you get pulled over or have an interaction with a cop and they ask for your ID, you're supposed to casually hand this card over with it, and they take one look at it and go, "Oh, you're one of, you know, okay, you know somebody who's one of us. Be more, you know, be careful next time. Don't do that, you know, don't try that again," that type of thing. And yeah, these things have been going on. I mean, I don't have no idea how long they've actually existed here in New York, but I can remember them ever since I first moved here back in the, you know, early 90s. And it's just so funny that the cops are all mad. Like the court. Go ahead, Lou.
If we could go back to what I was talking about, I think in the very first segment, the whole thing about illegality, illegal is illegal unless you have one of these cards. And I just kind of picture it like, you guys have seen Donnie Brasco, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm picturing the cop talking to his nephew, says, "Okay, if you just drop my name and say that I'm your uncle, then they'll know that you're a friend of mine. But you show them this card, and they'll know that you're a friend of ours. Got it?" that's how I see it, because, you know, the mob is letting their other mob partners or their cohorts know who they can touch and who they can't touch. So if you have one of these get out of jail free cards, Well, one, it shows that the law is completely arbitrary, but it shows that all animals are equal on the farm, but some animals are more equal than others. And it really destroys this notion of nobody is above the law, nobody is below the law. We are a nation of laws, and we live by the rule of law, not the rule of man. Which is all horse hockey. It's all Feinsteining bullshumer. But that's what they talk about. That is the propaganda that is passed around.
Yeah, but this thing, we're kind of laughing. But this thing is totally, absolutely serious, right?
How angry the cops are. Oh yes.
The patrolman's what, benevolent association. This is the biggest, oldest police union on earth. I mean, there is a lot of power here. I thought it was interesting. You know, I had to double take and go, okay, who's giving out the cards? It's not the police department, it's the union. So that there have to, you know, I know people get after me because I think that maybe there are a few cops that have some integrity or whatever there. But it doesn't matter if you have any integrity or any honesty or think everybody should be treated the same. When you've got 20, 30,000 cops looking at you saying, if you pull over my mama and she's got one of these cards and you've got a traffic ticket, you better not write her one, or we're going to mess you up. This is, I mean, you have to comply, or your brothers on the force are going to give it to you.
Yep.
How could you stand up against all of them? So I imagine they're just totally in line. I was kind of amazed. I was looking at this at how well this actually does work. And you really will not get the ticket if you just pull the card out. It's not like you have to. It's not one of these things where you got a $20 bill or $50 bill stuck behind your license. You have to kind of accidentally hand
it. Yeah, like you're trying to grease the maitre d's palm.
Yeah. You know, hand it to the cop. You can hand them your license in one hand and hand them this card in the other, and you're golden.
Yep.
Well, the card replaces the 20. But from the article, it says, Patrolman's Benevolent Association boss Pat Lynch slashed the number of cards.
Slashed. I love that. Slashed. Yeah.
So it's the PBA. It's not the department. It's not the prosecutor. It's not the city council. It's the union is determining how many jail-free cards that you can get. So anyway, it slashes number from current cops from 30 to 20 and to retirees from 20 to 10. So it's
another one of those
away from the act. Yeah.
I was just going to say another one of those perks that these folks get after they're retired, and they keep getting to take advantage of the system, which is, you know, one
this
of my
is, biggest it's, rights. This is just crooked. It's just totally crooked.
Yeah.
If the prosecutor had any integrity at all, okay, if the city prosecutor, municipal prosecutor in New York City had any integrity, he would call the police department, he'd call the union and say, here's the deal. You guys are queering so many of these traffic tickets. Nobody has any faith in you. You have no authority whatsoever. Don't ever send me another ticket because I won't prosecute it. Now, that's what should be done.
Let's take it a step further. Not only should he do that, but he should get a search warrant for the PBA offices and bring in an outside SWAT team to take it down and looking for examples of looking for evidence of corruption, of fixing tickets and all this other stuff. I mean, just basically showing that the law, the rule of law, is being subverted. And once they find the printing press in there and these get out of jail free cards, just perp walk every last one of them.
I think you're onto something, Lou. But now, forget the city prosecutor. Forget it. Now we'll go to the state prosecutor. I know there's a law in New York State, there has to be, which is called obstruction of justice.
Yes.
And that would be the perfect vehicle to take these union thugs and put them in cuffs and take them on in. And obstruction of justice is often treated pretty harshly. And on this massive scale, I can't believe it wouldn't require, lots of time. Lots of punishment.
Oh, definitely. But here's where I have another idea. I think that because the police department is going to want to protect their own, they won't be able to directly impact the case because they won't be in charge of investigating themselves in this particular case. So what I can see is on the occasions that they do pull people over, meaning the prospective jury pool, I think that they'll probably talk to them about victimless crimes and jury nullification. So could you imagine a cop pulls you over, he goes to do a stop and frisk, he says, I'm not gonna fill you up today. I want to talk to you about something really important. Some of our fellow officers are going to be going to trial pretty soon. And are you sick of good people going to jail
for crimes? Oh, if only.
So when the police department is talking about jury nullification, I'm sure the mayor's going to get out there and he's going to say, you know, we have these people, these officers that protect us, they haven't harmed anybody. This is a victimless crime. So do your duty and nullify. Good people don't enforce bad laws. Vote not guilty.
I know they didn't harm anybody. Heck, they let some people go. If they were let everybody go, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
Yeah. So further on in the article.
Things.
Yeah, further on in the article, this says, the rank and file is livid. They're treating active members like Schumer, and retired members even worse than Schumer.
Lower than Schumer.
So they're treating them like Feinstein. Okay, got it.
they're treating them like they treat the citizens. So anyway, griped an NYPD cop who retired on disability. Jesus Christ, does that hit all the stereotypes?
Oh, my God.
All the cops I spoke to were .. very disappointed. They couldn't hand them out as Christmas gifts.
Yeah, and that's a legit quote, folks. Like that.
Yeah.
Like they actually. That's what these have become. Like I said, I know cops that were selling them. I know cops that just hand them out to people. And this guy was upset that the people were upset they couldn't give them away as Christmas, which just makes it even worse because that just makes them even cheap. That makes them cheap on top of everything else.
Yeah, it's like in Goodfellas when Ray Liotta's talking about Robert De Niro's character. He says, yeah, he gave the bartender a 20 just for keeping the ice cold. So the cop will give a get out of jail free card to the busboy for keeping the ice cold. But anyway, sounds like we'll be back.
Yeah, we will. After the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha, biptunia.com.
The police here in New York, and there's their little cars that are being taken away, and they're also mad. Also mad. I have a lot of experience with these things, and I remember the first one I got was from my best friend at the time's dad. It must have been like 18 or 19 at the time, and he was either a detective or a sergeant at the time, I don't remember, in New York City. So we got them, but we were led to believe that it was like pulling teeth just to get one for his son, much less one for his for his friends, even though, as I was telling the guys during the break, his son actually had a very special one that wasn't like ours, wasn't a plastic little credit card looking thing. With the PBA logo on it and stuff, but he actually had a miniaturized version of his dad's shield that he got to carry around and flash around. You know, I mean, he was a goody two shoes for the most part, so he never like abused it or anything. But I know plenty of people that did, and of course, I would have if I had that ability at the time. But yeah, I used to get them from him every year, and I just always thought it was commonplace. It wasn't until years later that I learned that this doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, there's different ways of going about it in certain jurisdictions, but these cards aren't as commonplace as I was led to believe. But I got them from him, and then there was another for somebody else at one point I was getting from, I don't even remember, who was just getting me them for a couple of years, and then I had a client for years that would give them to me. And yeah, they're very handy. They got me out of tickets a number of times. The two times I did get tickets while using the card, it was because I was pulled over here in Nassau County, and the cop at the time, in both instances, audibly scoffed when they saw it was a New York, an NYPD card and not a Nassau County card. And they were just like, basically, I don't care who you know or whatever. And I was just like, all right. And in both of those instances, those tickets ended up disappearing because my friend's dad called up, and apparently it was either him or if he wasn't convincing enough, it was the unions, as we were referring to, either.
Yeah, putting blue line came down.
Putting pressure and saying, yeah, you're not, you know, this is so-and-so, he's, you know, this is his rank or whatever, and you're not going to mess with him or the people that he protects. And yeah, those tickets were disappeared for me.
There are some comments. Mike M. here writes, I have many family members who are police officers in New Jersey. I was given a golden medal card by my cousin that cannot be taken away and has no expiration date. I've used it multiple times during traffic stops and have always gotten off with a warning. Sometimes all they did was look at it, told me to have a good day, and walked away.
Yep.
And wow, Jeremy, there's other ones here that are saying the same thing. Plenty of them.
Jeremy, I bet you could use one of those cards about a year ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, unfortunately, the last one I had, those did have expiration dates. I didn't have a fancy one like that. I had to get a new one every year. Otherwise, they became less and less useful because most cops would start to ignore them like within like a month or two of them being expired and be like, yeah, this doesn't really count anymore.
But you could say, well, I behaved all this time, so that's why I got so old. My takeaway from this is if you get pulled over for a traffic violation, speeding, illegal turn on red, not using your indicators, whatever, and this is your free pass, it's your get out of jail free card or get out of extortion free card. If it's not so bad to where they don't Schumer hammer everybody that commits one of these offenses, and you can actually get out of it by having connections, then obviously the argument that it's about safety and maintaining safe roadways is absolutely Feinsteining bull Schumer, and they need to shut the Feinstein up.
Exactly. Because they, you know, it's one thing that I was thinking that earlier, too. And I've thought this many a times when I try to have this conversation with people, because usually the argument will be for the, you know, when police officers themselves are allowed to get away with certain things, a lot of stuff.
Oh, they don't need that card. They're, well, exactly. They're already immune, but all local office holders, judges, prosecutors.
Exactly. But the justification is always they do something important for us. But now, yeah, when you turn around and
pass out their family cards.
Exactly. These family members, what are they doing for the community that they deserve this special treatment? And then it's just usually blank stares, or they tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
And they don't talk anymore.
The cards.
A source said Lynch ordered the cutback to stop the sale of the cards, which were being hawked on eBay last week for as much as $200.
See?
The PBA and NYPD declined comment.
Surprise.
Well, they're exercising their right.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caresses your freedom fiend bone. I'm Randy England, and co-host Jeremy has hacked into the government's subspace mind control beam to our pirate signal of protest directly into your frontal lobes. So wash the government off your hands and out of your brain. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing?
Randy, I'm all right.
You're back.
Yeah.
Haven't been contacted by the government during the break, I hope.
Not today, fortunately. Usually a fairly regular occurrence for me, but no, not today.
I hope not.
No.
Yeah, it used to be a regular occurrence for me, but then I retired and now it doesn't happen.
Yeah. If only it had to do with my job that then I could at least tolerate it somewhat. But no, it wasn't job related.
It wasn't. Anyway. It's not that tolerable, even if it is related to your job.
Good. Touche, Randy. Touche. So,
what do you know about cell 411? Do you have that on your phone?
Yes, I do.
I have been feeling like I need to get that.
Yes.
But the last time I put it on, there was nobody else in my area that had it.
You need to be a trailblazer then, Randy.
I really don't want to use it. You know, it's kind of interesting. My mother-in-law, she lived with us for 6 years. She died this last summer. But during that time, I think that would have been a fantastic thing. Isn't there? I read somewhere that you can push a button and it'll send out a signal to, you know, as many friends or whatever as you want, and let them know that you have a problem of some kind. And then I saw that you could get some kind of little gadget, and pretty cheap, a button that you could wear around your neck, and just press the button and it would send out a signal to whoever you wanted. And I was thinking, boy, that would have been fantastic, because we had a lot of times when, you know, we couldn't be close or something. We'd have felt a lot better if she'd have had something like that around her neck.
Yes, everything you said is true. And of course, we are talking about Cell 411, which is a free app you can get, which is the wonderful thing about it, because you get all these things that Randy's talking about and more for free. At what's the website? Getcell411.com. But yeah, it basically works, you know, in that fashion. It can work like one of those little life alert bracelets, I guess. Was that what the things they used to promote on TV all the time?
Well, they do have those things, and you have a little button around your neck. It's not the idea that's so novel. It's the fact that you don't have to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Well, exactly. That's the advantage.
The app is free, right?
Yeah, the app itself is free, and if you want to get what they refer to it as the panic button, I actually happen to have a couple of those.
They're cheap, right?
Well, they are. I believe they're only $20 or maybe $25 at most, but it's a one-time fee for the thing, and then you only have to replace the battery. You know, you have to replace the battery in it every now and then. I actually was very lucky. I got mine free from the creator of the app when he learned about my situation. Back last year, when I was contacted by the government in very, very bad ways, multiple times.
Well, that beats $20 a month for the button.
Well, exactly, because you pay the one-time fee for the panic button, and you don't have to pay anything else again except for batteries. So
if people knew about this, the biggest user of cell 411 would be old people.
Well, see, that's funny you say that, because we talked about this recently with the fact that that ambulances are actually being forced to reduce the prices they charge for people. Because, you know, you take an ambulance ride, most people think, oh, an ambulance comes to pick you up. But no, you got to pay a bill for that usually. But because they're actually being outdone in areas where Lyft and Uber and all and ride sharing services are popular, which, by the way, Cell 411 actually has its own ride sharing app, which I believe to be far superior to Lyft and Uber, because besides the fact that, you know, you can contact your driver and you have, you know, they give you turn by turn directions so you can get there and everything and yada yada yada, just like everything else, you can use any form of payment that you and the driver can work out, where Uber and Lyft are limited to, I believe, cash and credit cards, but you can barter with your driver, you can you can pay in gold and silver, you can pay in cryptocurrencies, whatever you guys can work out. And it's completely decentralized. Cell 411 is not getting a cut of any of that. They want nothing to do with that. They're literally just hooking people up and being done with it.
That's pretty awesome.
But in the areas where ride sharing services are popular, people are actually opting to call the ride sharing service rather than calling an ambulance for anything that's not a life threatening situation, to actually save money. And it's actually forcing the ambulances to be cheaper. So yeah, I could totally see this. We just, we should probably talk to Virgil about that scene, about getting a marketing campaign or something going to market to the elderly. It'd be great.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I have AARP. Put an ad in their publication, whatever. Thing is. I'm not a member, so I don't get it. But
no, it'd be. I think it would work great. I think it would work really well, because the panic button works great. I used it. A touch of a button. And, it doesn't, it's the app itself is set up for multiple types of emergencies. Like if you actually look at the app, you open it up, it's got this little wheel on it and it has all these different type of things, whether it's a medical emergency, whether it's a fire, whether you have a car situation where you have like a flat tire or something, whether you're being stopped by the police, and a couple of different other things. And there's also a video. So, you can use it to film situations as well, and the video is automatically stored on the Cell 411 servers, so even if somebody were to try to take your phone from you or break your phone to try to stop you recording whatever you're recording, you don't have to worry about it, because you could just go recover it later on. So but I really like this idea of marketing it to the senior citizens, though. I think it's brilliant.
That's a yes. Cell 411.
Yes.
And I assume we can get that on your Android and Apple.
Yes, it's available on both Android and iPhone. If you are one of the beautiful people, both free, and you can find out more information and everything else about it at getcell411. I always say it too fast. Getcell411.com.
There you go. There you go.
So
well,
now we're back. We're done, and we're down a loo. And
We're down one loo, and we only had one to lose, and he's gone. So
it was nice of him to stop by, though, and join us for that about the PBA cards in the first hour.
I'm going to listen to his talk on Frederick Bastiat.
Yes,
who is one of my liberty heroes. I found this article, the title of it is "Tennessee's Haircut Cops Bust Barbers Who Lack High School Diplomas," which I don't know, gets, I'm not sure about the title, but they wanted to work in all of the things that that were done to this poor guy, a guy named Elias Zarate. And this guy was he was working at a barbershop in Front Street in downtown Memphis, which is a hot area of town. And he'd been there only a few weeks cutting hair. Apparently, he learned to cut hair from a barber uncle of his when he was a kid. And then since that time and for years, he'd been cutting cutting his friends and his family's hair, and knew how to do it just from experience, and was good enough to get on at a barbershop in downtown Memphis. And but the one thing that he did that was a little dicey was they had to have a license, and he bought a license a barber a few months earlier from a guy who, quote, it says in the article, who knew a guy, and he wasn't sure, you know, if it was all legit, but it seemed like a good deal. So why, you know, and he said to himself, he said, that seems awful easy, but then he said, why shouldn't it be easy to get a barber license? And I thought,
what a good question.
Well, yeah, it's not brain surgery, right? Why shouldn't it be easy? And that's when, you know, his trouble started, and he was in there only working there a few weeks. This happened like 1 year ago. It was right last January, not this one. And a enforcer for the Tennessee Board of Cosmetology and Barber Examiners, whose initials are Jerry Biddle, stopped by the Revolution Studio. That was the name of the barbershop. And, you know, one of the things they do when they go into a barbershop is they check everybody's license. And Zarate says, he came straight to me and was like, that license is fake. And that was the beginning of this guy's trouble. So the guy wrote him all up and wrote a report on him. He saw this fellow Zarate cutting hair. There's even a picture of him cutting the hair right there. They caught him. This is as red-handed as it gets. And the license wasn't valid. And the guy was honest with him. He said he'd never been to barber school. He just learned from experience. It was, an open and shut violation of the Tennessee Cosmetology Act. Person without a valid license practicing.
Oh, the horror. And,
yeah. And... So, and there was absolutely nothing, I mean, not one word to suggest that he wasn't doing a perfectly good job, and there was nothing wrong with his skills. And of course, if there'd been anything wrong with his skills, I assume that would have been shown by his customers or the guy that owned the barber shop. But apparently things were fine there. But he got a citation and was going to have to pay. And he said, they put the fear in you. You know, they make you feel like they're going to come and get you and put you in jail. I felt like I was dealing with the police. You know, I don't know what the law is in Tennessee, but I do know in Missouri, you are dealing with the police, and it's a Class A misdemeanor. I think it may be the same down there.
Yeah, I know about that.
You can go to jail for a year on a Class A misdemeanor.
Oh, yes, I know all about that.
So he was ordered to appear before an administrative judge. So it apparently a little different deal than the due process you get in a criminal case. And in Nashville, at the State Board of Cosmetology and Barber Examiners. And we'll come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
We're back with the Freedom Fiends, and I'm Randy England. I'm here with Jeremy.
We're
talking about Tennessee's haircut cops and a Mr. Zarate, a black market unlicensed barber in Nashville, who got a ticket for cutting hair without a license, which is a class A misdemeanor there too, which means you can get a year in jail. And he was ordered to appear before the cosmetology board, cosmetology and barbers examiners, I think they call it. And he said that he assumed that at the hearing they would be able to, they would clear up his confusion about what he had to do to get a legitimate license to cut hair. But the hearing went quite differently. He didn't have a lawyer, and because it was an administrative hearing, he wasn't provided one. I don't know how they get around that, but I think what they probably do is you have this hearing, which is totally unfair, no lawyer. They just come in, you know, rubber stamp you, you did it, and that's it. And then you can appeal. And at some point in the appeals process, it'll get over in front of a real judge, I guess you would call, not an administrative judge. And I'm thinking before they send you to jail, they would have to bring in what they call, you know, courts call due process. But he didn't get any of that at this stage of it. And it turned out that they just tried him then, and the judge heard the witnesses and found him guilty. And he apparently thought that they were going to tell him what he did wrong and what he could do and get license, because he apparently was open to doing that, but he thought he was okay, and he wasn't. He said, once I got there, though, it was a full-on case against me. They slaughtered me, he said. He was hit with a $1,500 penalty, plus $600 in additional fees. So, because he had to pay court costs, he had to pay attorney's fees. I guess the attorney for the barber board, he had to pay for their lawyer to prosecute him. That doesn't happen in a real criminal case ever. And the expense of the investigation, well, not most times anyway. And the expense of the investigation that had busted him for the fake license.
He had to pay for the guy who showed up and took the picture of him and wrote him the original thing.
Exactly. And he tried to, you know, ask, but they didn't want to talk to him. They just wanted the money. He said, I was thinking, how am I supposed to pay for this fine, you know, because they stopped me from working, he said. And he tried to follow the process for appealing it, sent the letter to the board saying he was appealing, and the appeal was immediately denied. So he's still wanting, he says he wanted to make things right with them, because his wife is expecting a daughter, and so he was calling around to the barbering schools, and then he found out that he couldn't get into a barbering school. He might be able to get in, but he couldn't get his license until he had a high school diploma or a GED. And so no school would admit him because he didn't have that. And so I guess that was another problem. And I couldn't figure out, you know, one sense I'm reading that and I'm going, well, how hard is it to get a GED? But, you know, some people, I can very easily see that somebody could be really a whiz at cutting hair, but, you know, might have some kind of other, you know, what kind of disability or some reason why they couldn't pass the test, right?
Of course. And even if they didn't, I mean, I don't think it says in here how old he is, but I mean, depending on how old you are, depending on how far away you are from the, you know, whatever you were learning in school that you would be able to apply to a GED test or something like that. It's very difficult for even people who have, you know, fully functioning brains to be able to reach back and study and actually grasp all that stuff and actually do well enough on the test. You know, so when if you're kind of like forced into doing that, it's kind of tough. Number one. Number two, this isn't even like it's this even isn't like this is like some just, you know, old school rule on the books or whatever. I think because between this and there was another couple articles you sent that were all kind of linked together, that this law was actually only put in place in 2015. Because up until then, you only had to have a 10th grade education. As of right now, you still only have to have a 10th grade education to have a cosmetology license in the state of Tennessee, but not a barber's license.
Yeah, and he had an 11th grade education, hadn't finished.
11 and a half, basically. Yeah, he gave up halfway through his senior year, essentially.
That's right.
Arms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback, and for the first time, on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends-related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Freedom Fiends. We're back from the market, and we've been talking about this fellow, Mr. Zarate, who got caught cutting hair without a license. I guess he wasn't wasn't a black market barber. Is that what you call a gray market? Gray market barber.
Yeah, I think that would fall.
Is that the right term?
Yeah, because he tried to work sort of within the system by getting a counterfeit license. So yeah, he wasn't like not getting a license and going unlicensed. He got a fake license.
I'm not sure that they would see that as a mitigating factor in the crime. But the trouble, the other trouble that he had was that after he went the whole thing and they hit him for $2,100 in fines and costs and wouldn't let him work anymore, he wanted to get his license, but he couldn't get into a barbering school because he didn't have a high school diploma. And I guess he's, you know, kind of hit a brick wall. He probably has no chance of changing the law. So, getting a GED, I hope that's possible for this guy. But this thing is just so crazy. Like cutting hair, you think if somebody does a good job, why do they need to have the state, you know, going out granting monopoly licenses? I apologize if I ever told this before. When I was a kid, my brothers and I, every month we got hauled to a private home in my hometown, a home of this middle-aged lady named Mrs. McAfoos. I'm sure she's dead by now, so I can use her name, I suppose. The statute of limitations is run. But, this lady, if you saw her on the street, you wouldn't imagine that she was a long-term career criminal, a black market barber. She didn't even have a fake license. And she wasn't licensed. All of the kids in the neighborhood, we loved her to cut her hair. You know how you hate, I still hate haircuts. When they get kind of long, I get kind of antsy in that. And like, when is this going to be over? And when I was a kid, I was 10 times as bad. And she didn't take 5 minutes. And, I assume my mom took us there, because then all the other moms in the neighborhood took us to the same lady because she charged 50 cents. And that was, it was a lot more expensive than that, even back when I was a kid. And her haircuts were perfectly good. And every Saturday, there was one Saturday, I guess, every month, and the mothers in the neighborhood would pack all the kids up, and they'd combine, and go over in a couple cars and go over to Mrs. Bacafuz's house. And when we would go, my mother would say, "Now, don't ever tell anybody that she cuts your hair. She can get into trouble." And we like going there, and we would, and so we never told. None of us ever said a peep about it. And she'd cut 10 heads an hour. She was so fast, and she did that all day at 50 cents a head. So here she is, racking up $5 an hour in 1964, which is huge pay.
Yeah,
for somebody living out of her, just cutting out of her house. I mean, my dad made half of that working at Sears and Roebuck at the time. And he was just a middle-aged guy with a family. But barbering, without a license, I mean, it's been a crime. It was a crime back then. It still carries a jail sentence today. And criminals like this Mrs. Bacafuz, I mean, they're all over the place out there. And this, as this Mr. Zarate found out. And, that always comes to mind to me when I see useless occupational licensing like this. It's just wrong. It's the state comes in and they throw up a barrier between a person and a good living. And I've never heard of a profession where the reason that they have occupational licensing at all, and I'm talking lawyers, doctors, architects, I don't care, let alone going down to funeral directors or something like that. I've never heard of a profession where the reason that they had occupational licensing put into law was because the public was clamoring for it. I mean, what always happens is that the members of the profession, the senior, respectable members of the profession, go to the legislature and say, "We would like you to enact, first of all, we would like to be all grandfathered in so that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to take a test or go to school or anything. All of us in the profession would like you to erect barriers so people can't get in unless they do what we say. Go to schools that we've certified, take the tests that we make them take. Like if we're the flower arrangers, we'll have a test where they come in and they have to arrange flowers in front of us. And if we don't like it, they're out." And of course, the upshot is, they're going to tell the legislatures, well, the purpose of this, of course, is to protect the public. But what they really want is to kill competition, limit the numbers of people entering the profession, and get the prices up.
You're starting to buffer again pretty hard, right?
It's a scam. I'm okay.
No, you're still buffering, but
tell me what you think.
I'll take over for a minute, and hopefully you'll come back again like you did last hour. Seemed to be a momentary glitch last time, but yeah, you mentioned the florist. The florist is just funny because I've actually dealt with that one specifically, because way back when I worked in a flower shop, and I remember I got friendly with one of the florists there. And, she would teach, she just asked me one day if I wanted to learn how to do certain things. And I was like, I was a delivery driver, but I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I had some time to kill. I'll learn how to, do different designs or whatever. But when it came time to actually making things for the, for the customers, I was never allowed to do that because I didn't even think of it at the time, but it was basically, she had a very special little piece of paper that I did not have. So I was the only time I was ever allowed to do anything was on like the holidays when the owner just didn't care because it was so insane, like Valentine's Day or something. And she was just like, fine, you can throw together easy stuff and just whatever, just do it, just because we need to get stuff out there.
Can you imagine anything more idiotic than needing a license to arrange flowers?
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, you don't need a license to take care of dog walking and take care of people's pets, do you?
I don't hear, although it's I've heard rumblings that it's being pushed for in the past couple of years.
Well, there are states where a cat groomer has to have a license.
Well, yeah, what a groomers, yes. I believe groomers actually do. Groomers have to have licenses here in New York because they cracked down a few, you know, a decade or so ago.
Cracked down.
On a back, you know, on people that were in doing grooming in their garage and stuff like that, because I had a bunch of people that I met along my travels as I was starting my business and either became friendly with them or ended up being clients of mine, and they would all tell, you know, I heard a bunch of stories about people who used to do this type of thing and eventually got reported, and then the government came in and was like, no, you can't do this anymore.
How about ballroom dance instructors? You need a license for that in some places. You know that?
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, again, you linked a bunch of different things. And another one that would surprise me, apparently there's three states in the horrible union that actually require a license for to be an interior decorator. And it's actually 6 years worth, I think, some insane number of schooling.
So to protect the public from bad taste.
Well, it's exactly what it is.
How about here's another one, elevator operators. You need one for that in places.
First of all, how many places actually have elevator operators anymore, except like swanky, like, you know, upscale places that, you know, that nobody ever touches anything, that have doormen and everything else?
Oh, state courthouses and city buildings and things where the unions are still running things. I don't know. It happens in places. Now, one that really floors me is fortune tellers.
Now, that's just funny.
I mean, here's someone who's dealing with the supernatural, okay?
What's the test they have to pass to get the license?
Well, yeah, you would think that they'd actually have to prove that they were good at it.
Yeah, you have to be able to tell the future for the panel of judges and come back in a week and see what happens. Like, what?
One of the questions is, are we going to pass you in this test? Of course, here's the thing.
That's the first and only question.
It doesn't matter, though, that the profession is a bunch of charlatans, because the people making the rules and the people judging you are the other fortune tellers who presumably do know the business, but also presumably do not want the competition. That's the way it always is. I mean, if you want to, I know that the people that test the answers on the bar exam are, guess who? The people who I'm going to try and steal their business because I want to be a new lawyer. You know, that's just the way it is. And they what do they call that? A regulatory capture, I believe, is the phrase they use. That the professions, once they get the legislature to make it a crime to practice without a license, then they make sure that they hijack all the rules, because what they really want to do is control people who get in. And it's pretty bad. Hair braiders. We had a case just last week or two that came down here in our state. It was a federal case. The Eighth Circuit came down. There were a couple ladies who did what they'd call African-American style hair braiding, which was a very, you know, real niche market that didn't cut hair. They didn't use any kind of chemicals or creams or anything on here. All they did was braid your hair. And they were doing this, making money. People liked their service. And so the Missouri Cosmetology Board came down on them like a ton of bricks, put them out of business, shut them down completely. And now the Eighth Circuit has just ruled that the state totally had the power to do that. That was A-OK. And these ladies, I think they're going to get relief simply because there's a guy in the legislature, which is in session right now, and we're all in danger because of that. But a representative from St. Louis is sponsoring a bill that will take African hair braiding out of the Cosmetology Act. But it's not a done deal, even though it's pretty obvious to anybody with any sense at all that to force somebody like this to have a license is just insane.
Yep.
They're not even competing with the regular cosmetologists, because cosmetologists don't learn how to do this in cosmetology school.
We'll
be back. Yes.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
Freedom Fiends. And we're back. That is us, Jeremy and me. I'm Randy England.
You know, and I just realized last night, the one thing that was missing, it was bugging me all night, and then I realized it last night, is I wasn't getting interrupted tonight by the Wampus Cat.
No, you're not. The Wampus Cat has is down with the flu.
Oh, poor Wampus. Anyway. Yes.
But
bugging me all night.
we were throwing at each other during the break. The most absurd professions to be licensed that you can't do without government permission. Now, the top of my list.
If you thought barbers were bad, wait,
yeah,
there's more.
A makeup artist. You're going to get a bad eyebrow liner. What is that?
Listen, if somebody sends out some woman looking like a whore, and something bad happens to her, then that's on that makeup designer. Come on, that's
okay. How about the profession? All right, motion picture projectionists.
Well, listen, Randy, if you don't have licenses for motion picture projectionists, then you're just going to have a bunch of Tyler Durdens around splicing clips of porn into all the kiddie movies.
Sheep dealers. Oh,
well, listen, without those sheep dealing licenses, you know how many more sheeps would be?
Oh, shut up. On the South tour guides. Tour guides. How about, forget the tour guides. That's a stupid. Here's one. Upholsterers. What if you got a chair and it wasn't well upholstered?
Yeah, listen, the thing could, you know, the seams could rip and you could like fall into it or something. Oh, so many bad things could happen. Yes. Yes, these are all insane.
The thing that is so nuts about all of this stuff is that even if you think of a profession that you think maybe should have some regulation over it, you know, requiring a license that it's a crime to practice this profession without government permission, it's kind of like the nuclear option, that it's the most oppressive thing you can do to get between a person and a living that they would like to make. I mean, there's so many things even the government could do. You know, like this guy with the haircut, this is Mr. Zarate cutting the hair. They could have come in there and just watched him cutting the hair, and they could have said, well, you're doing a good job. I'm not going to mess with you. Yeah. But would that have protected his customers? But no, or they could have just had him take a test and not have to worry about his GED or the stupid barber school or anything. And if he was too dumb to have learned from his uncle, which he apparently did learn, then maybe he needed barber school. I don't know. But there's so many things, you know, that could be done even by the state that would be less, you know, just in your face. But do you think that we even need the state at all for this stuff? There's so many ways taken care of.
Even with the state, what's that one company? Underwriters Laboratory.
Yeah, everybody follows what they say about what electronic equipment and things like that, electricity and fire equipment.
And that's why, that's the one industry that's the least regulated out of everything, which of course, coincidentally enough, is also the one industry that continues the prices and everything continue to get cheaper every year for everybody, because it's not overrun by government regulations. But yeah, that exists right in the now. And yeah, everybody looks to them because they're a trusted source on this.
And
it's
a
voluntary thing.
You could do that with other professions. You could have, if the public thought it was important that you have some proof that you could do things, like say you're a doctor or something, you could have certifications privately done, and people would look at it and they'd say, well, that's a valuable certification. I won't go to a doctor without that. You could have the same thing for your lawyer or
Also, people would be allowed, the option to choose people without these licenses at their own risk.
And if there's not much risk anymore. You got Yelp, you got Amazon, information.
But even if people wanted to, they could still do it. You know, that's another thing. It's not only keeping people out of the market, it's limiting the options of all the consumers.
But you wouldn't make it unless you were doing a good job, though.
Most likely, yes. But it's just the fact, you know, like, that's how you let everybody go out there and try to make their business and see whether they fail or succeed. You don't need the government to tell you who's good and who's bad. You let
go
the,
for
you know, exactly.
I want to go cut somebody's hair.
I'm going to go put a lemonade stand outside tomorrow.
Yeah, street vending, that's another story.
Another save that night. For next time, but... It's been fun, Randy. Thanks for having me tonight.
Jeremy, thank you for having me on your Tuesday night.
It was fun having Lou here in the first hour. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And for more of us, go to freedomfiends.com.
Good night.